yes, we do drink Rex Goliath here. Yeah, that's true. The rumors are true. We drink a Rex Goliath. They make a Merlot, and they make a Cabernet Sauvignon, which is one of my favorites because it's dry. I don't like wines that taste like Kool-Aid. I drank Kool-Aid when I was a kid, and I was a chubby kid. I'm trying to keep it lean and mean here at the Zender headquarters. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender broadcasting to you from Zender headquarters. Rex Goliath, it's won 50 gold medals in some kind of judging contest. Rex Goliath is the name of a rooster. Her Royal Majesty, Rex Goliath, apparently, according to the back label here, at the turn of the century, His Royal Majesty, Rex Goliath, apparently he was knighted by the Queen or something. I don't know. He was a treasured circus attraction, weighing in at 47 pounds. Rex was billed as the world's largest rooster. And the boast of Rex Goliath wineries is, our wines are a tribute to Rex's larger-than-life personality with big fruit-forward flavors. Yeah, that's what you want. If you're going to have fruit, make sure it's forward, fruit-forward flavors. Beats the heck out of any fruit going in reverse. It's sure to please. Soft, supple, and complex. Sounds like a couple women I've known. Our Merlot has something for everyone and goes great with just about any cuisine. Okay, there the similarities stop. So, what's funny is Clyde Lynn, we tell people about this wine, it's inexpensive. That's one reason why we get it. Okay, so what's wrong with admitting that? We're frugal. Clyde tells people about it. He says it's a 47-foot rooster. He always screws it up. And he says it's a 47-foot rooster. And I have to correct him. I said, no, Rex Goliath, true story, was a 47-pound rooster. I said, if you saw a 47-foot rooster, that thing would be wrecking Tokyo. So, no, it's 47 pounds, not 47 feet. For the love of God, it'd be bigger than a house. All right. Now, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture today, talking about this part three of the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. I know they were scattered among every nation, but they are conglomerated, they're concentrated in certain nations. They're a certain nationality of people. Just because they're scattered among every nation doesn't mean we have a racial mix here. We have one race, the Hebrew race, the Israelite race, and they have settled chiefly into Europe and the Americas. I claim here today that the Anglo-Saxon peoples are the remnant of the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. Now, a big verse that we've been reading is Amos 9:9, that God's going to shake Israel, the house of Israel, like a sieve among all the nations. Okay, first, don't forget to keep this very practical. Your friends and your family and you yourself are probably an Israelite way back, probably an Israelite. Now, just because you're an Israelite, don't start thinking, I got to get a menorah, I got to get one of those little hats, I can't eat shellfish. Or bacon, no. You're a member of the body of Christ, just like Paul was an Israelite also. He counted his nationality as refuse. So what? You're a natural-born Israelite. So what? Do not gravitate toward the ceremonies and the unbelief and the stiff-neckedness of Israel, because you've been called into the body of Christ where there is neither Jew nor Greek. Peter never taught that truth. Why? Because he's a card-carrying Israelite. Ezekiel 36, listen to this. Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 17. Going to be reading a lot of scripture here, but I think you'll find this interesting, which is why I'm bringing it to you. Son of man, when the house of Israel, remember now that you can read the Old Testament with intelligence, there's a difference between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The house of Israel was the 10 tribes that had left the land, went into Samaria, set up their own little temple there, had their own system of worship, a civil war after the days of Solomon. The nation was split. But God's going to bring it back in a most astounding way. And that's what I'm driving at today. God is going to bring it back. God is going to revisit the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And I tell you, most of the Israelites, most of the Jews in Jerusalem are remnants from the house of Judah. That's where the word Jew comes from. And they're not true Israelites. A lot of them intermarried and they're mixed. Some of them are pure. I understand that. Most of them don't recognize their Messiah. Okay, back to verse 17 of Ezekiel 36. Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. All right, sounds like a really brief and concise history of Israel. Therefore, I poured out my wrath on them. How did he do it? By taking them into captivity via the king of Assyria, namely Tiglath-Pileser. I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land because they had defiled it with their idols. God hates idolatry. The organized church is still idolatrous today. And I claim that Christianity is actually the lost 10 tribes of Israel. No wonder they're idolatrous. No wonder they worship the system. No wonder they have a form of devoutness but deny the power. No wonder they have statues. No wonder they worship God because of self-righteousness. No wonder they lord it over other people. No wonder they believe in eternal torment. No wonder their big thing is money. Bring the tithe. Bring the tithe of the tithe. Bring the second tithe, the third tithe. Give your money till it hurts. That's an Israelite trait. How do you think they built the temple? Also, verse 19, I scattered them among the nations. Amos 9:9. Look at this. Ezekiel 36:19, mirror of Amos 9:9. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. Just like that guy in Iowa I was telling you about. He was dispersed. He became English first, you know, his ancestors, and then his ancestors moved to America. Then he became an American. Then he lived in Iowa, so he's an Iowan or a Hawkeye, whatever you want to call him. But trace his lineage, and only God can do it probably. I say the guy's probably an Israelite. Martin, he doesn't look like an Israelite from the lost 10 tribes. If you think an Israelite is a dark-complected person, he's not. Those are the intermarried with the Hittites and the Shittites and the Amalekites, Perizzites, and probably the Stalactites and the Stalagmites and the Hypocrites. Okay, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have come out of his land. These are the people of the Lord, but he's dispersed them. They've came out of his land. Is that a great description of Christians today? Here's the people of the Lord, and yet they don't reflect the goodness and the graciousness, the might and the glory of the Lord, having a form of devoutness yet denying the power. Wow, look, I want to read that again. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his hand. But I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations where they went. Who has profaned the name of God more than Christianity? You can't say that the Aborigine bush person has profaned the name of God or Christ. They can't because they don't claim the name of Christ. Neither do people in Africa or the Aleutians or the Inuits or the any other tribes or peoples. It's the Anglo-Saxon Western nations, the Christian nations. That's the religion closest to God, but it's the most deceptive religion because it claims the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read that again, and then I'm going to go to Romans chapter 2. Where do you see this parallel? Where do you see this analogy? Here we go again. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my name. Verse 21, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Okay, now I'm going to turn to Romans, and I'm going to go to chapter 2 and verse 21. Romans 2:21. Speaking of Israel, let's start with verse 17. Lo, you are being denominated, that is called, a Jew, and are resting on law, boasting in God. You know the will. You're testing what things are of consequence, being instructed out of the law. Besides, you have confidence in yourself to be a guide of the blind. Is that Christianity today or what? That's why I say you find the lost 10 tribes when you look at religious characteristics. You're a boasting. You have confidence. You're the guide of the blind. We will lead you people. Come to us. Come to our church. We will enlighten you. We will bring you to the truth. And when you get in there, you're double the son of Gehenna than you were when you went in. You're deceived. You're deluded. You're confused. And you start to adopt the mindset of Christianity. Your heart becomes calloused. And you begin to actually accept this crazy idea that eternal torment could be part of the love of God. This is the confidence Christianity has. It's also the confidence the Jews had, which Paul is bringing up against them here in Romans 2:19. You have confidence in yourself to be a guide of the blind, a light of those in darkness. Come to us. We have the light. a discipliner of the imprudent, a teacher of minors, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Form of knowledge. Paul's starting to come in on them right now. Now he brings the hammer down in verse 21. You then, who are teaching another, you're not teaching yourself, exclamation point. You who are heralding, not to be stealing, you're stealing. They're stealing your mind. They're stealing your money. They're stealing your heart. They're bringing you into the fake Jesus. Watch our video again, fake Jesus. Go to YouTube. Type in Martin Zender, fake Jesus. You who are saying not to be committing adultery, you're committing adultery. Christianity are idolaters. You who are abominating idols, you are despoiling the sanctuary. They have sanctuaries down the street here on Graham Avenue in Winburn, Pennsylvania. Gigantic structures. I look at them every day. Imposing edifices of brick, mortar, and inside they're full of dead people who are worshiping idols. I counted the crosses on top of this crazy wacko church down the road here, the one that Cindy McCoy ran out of in the movie. It's like 12 crosses at the top, which is the mark of the beast, I believe, the cross. Jesus Christ wasn't crucified on a cross, it was a stake. It's a false emblem. If you have a cross around your neck or on your t-shirt, get rid of it. It's the mark of the beast. Why would you have the mark of the beast around your neck? Why would you have his emblem? Mark is emblem. Concordant translates it emblem, the emblem of the beast. It's a Greek word that was also translated sculpture in Acts to talk about beautiful objects that people worship and venerate. Paul says, you're abominating idols, you're despoiling the sanctuary, you who are boasting in a law, through the transgression of the law, you are dishonoring God. Verse 24, for because of you, the name of God is being blasphemed among the nations according as it is written. Where is it written? Wow, I say it's written in Ezekiel. Did you hear that? Because of you, the name of God is being blasphemed. You know why people hate God today? They don't hate God because they've never heard of God. They've heard of the caricature God. They've heard of the God presented to them by Christianity. The mean, nasty, vindictive, torture meister who can't wait to pull the rug out from under you. He's keeping a list of who's naughty and nice, just like Santa Claus, except when he comes down your chimney, he's going to have a frickin' blowtorch. That's the God of Christianity. It's also the God that Israel put forth, and because of that, defiled the nations. Everywhere they went, they spoiled the nations. Why do you think I hate missionaries? These nations are doing fine. They're wearing banana peels. So what? They're worshiping the sun. So what? That's a lot better than being introduced to a weak God who's going to torment you for eternity unless you love him. He's codependent. He has to be loved or he just doesn't feel love. His self-worth depends on you loving him. And if you don't love him, he's going to get very, very upset and burn you in hell for eternity. But of course, he still loves you. This is bullcrap. And I exhort you to get out of it. This is idol worship in the churches today. And I'm going to continue Ezekiel 36. These passages in Ezekiel, I'm going to read 36, 37. I'm going to go into 38. We're going to talk about the Valley of Dry Bones. We're going to talk about the two sticks, House of Judah, the House of Israel. And you're going to see so many parallels between Israel and the modern Christian church that you're going to say, Zender, this has to be right. This is going to excite you because it explains what's happening with your family and friends. I'm praying for them, and I hope you are too.